We thank God for again allowing us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. It's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. And we thank God for the newness of the day as he has allowed us again to be in church and praise his holy name. While we're standing together, would you read with me from the church bulletin the call to worship? As we are here together in this house, let us say together the call to worship with enthusiasm and all praise and glory unto God. Shall we lift our voices together? Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My burden is easy, and my burden is mine. Kind Father, we thank you even right now as we're standing in your presence. We thank you for the spirit of worship that is in this place. It is already, Lord, evident to me that these that have come to worship in spirit and in truth. God, it is evident by their attending that they've come with an intent to worship your name. Humbly, Lord, we bow down before you. We submit ourselves unto you that you might examine us and that you would remove those things, whatsoever they may be, that are not pleasing in your sight. Would you wash us again and then crown us? Allow us to have a part in this worship and to experience your glory divine. We bid you now to come, Lord Jesus. Enter into this place and into our hearts that we might worship you. Cause us now, Lord, to set all things aside, to forget about the trials and tribulations of this world, but to remember even right now your darling son Jesus, as he was made an ultimate sacrifice for us. Oh, how we adore you. Lord, how we love you so very much. How we learn to love because of you. And we're so thankful for that, and we want you now to be here with us. We are reminded that your word says that you are ever present, God, that you never leave us nor forsake us. And in this house that is built up for your name, it would be just an ordinary house were not your presence so evident in this place. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Rain down on us even right now. If we had 10,000 tongues, we couldn't praise you enough. But we're going to try, Lord. We're going to give it all that we have. We're so thankful, God, that you have again looked beyond our faults. You've forgiven us of our sins and been merciful. Come, Lord Jesus, in this place. Be with us that we might adore you and behold the beauty of your face even right now. In the precious name of Jesus, the saints of God are praying, believing, trusting. Amen. That's mighty nice. That's a good one. Going on, though trials come on every hand, I feel Lift up your voices and say that again.
I feel like going on.
Oh, lift your hands in praise unto God.
Feel like going on.
I've got trials. One more time.
I feel like.
Why don't you encourage somebody and tell them, I feel like it. I'm struggling, but I'm going to make it. I'm disappointed, but I'm going to make it.
Like going on.
I feel like, in spite of, I feel like, indifferent to, I shall succeed in the Lord. I've got to deal with it now.
Every hand I feel like going on.
The devil is a liar.
Oh, I feel like going.
Come on, Jesus. Come on. Come on, Holy Ghost. Come on, Holy Ghost.
I feel like going on.
Would you reach out and grab somebody's hand? Would you encourage your brother and sister? Let them know that you're there for them. That in spite of anything, in spite of everything, united we will stand. And we shall persevere.
Like going on.
Aren't you glad that God isn't through with you yet? Aren't you glad that He woke you up this morning? The devil is a liar. You can make it, beloved of God. You will make it. Through it all, you're going to make it. Through sickness, financial difficulty, you're going to make it.
I feel like
come on, let's praise the Lord. Come on, let's praise the Lord.
I feel like going on.
Come on and help us, choir. Come on, lift him up, lift him up.
I feel like going
on. I feel the spirit of walking in this place. Somebody just want to walk in the aisles. Let the devil know that you're going to make it. I feel a spirit of movement in this place. You can move in the Lord. I feel the spirit of moving. You've been walking the floor all night. Now you can walk in the presence of the Lord. I feel like going. Let the devil know that you're encouraged in the Lord.
Like going.
I'm not ashamed of you, Lord. I'll walk for you because I know you're going to deliver me.
Feel like going.
on my way to a new beginning now. Trials come. I can make it, Jesus. I can make it, Jesus. I'm free in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Loosen it. Come on, let it go. Let it go. You've been carrying it too long. Let it go. Come on, come on, come on. I feel a breakthrough in here. I feel a breakthrough in here. You don't have to be ashamed. If you got to let it go, walk with it. Let it go. You're free in the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Come on, come on. Take your time. That's it. Nice and soft. Listen to the word of the Lord. He says, in the day that you need me, if you will just call upon my name, I'll be there for you. He said, your mother and father may forsake you. Your friends will turn their backs on you. Folk won't understand you, why you're doing what you're doing. But I, the Lord thy God, I've been with you through it all. I know what's going on in your life. You don't have to be ashamed. They're not going to understand, but I will give an answer. If you seek my way, don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. I know it might feel strange to you, but don't be afraid of it. I told you on Friday night that something was going to happen in here. And I'm telling you even right now that the spirit of deliverance has come to this place. You've been waiting on this. You've been seeking a more excellent way. You've been telling the Lord that you want to be in a church where things are happening. You told the Lord that you were going to trust him this year. You cried all night long. You tossed and you turned and you got up with a new way. And the Lord said, come unto me. You heard it in the call to worship. You heard it when he said, take my yoke. God said, I'm going to set you free this year. God said, they had you worried about what was going to happen, but I'm what's happening. I am God. I was then, am now, and will always be. I didn't intend for you to worry about anything. I didn't intend for you to get caught up in the cares of this world. I wanted you to focus on higher glory. And I'm pouring it out on you right now. He said, I'll pour it out on you right now. Lift up your hands and receive the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I know you've already got it, but the Lord wants to give you a double dose this morning. I know you've been here. I know you understand it, but God said, I'm going to pour out a special anointing. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Nobody shall go through. Thank you, God. Would you do it in the name of Jesus? Would you do it in the name of Jesus? Would you forget about what folk going to say about you? If you could receive it right now. Oh, I'm lifting up my hands for you. I'm lifting up my hands for you. The Lord said that we should help one another. My brother and my sister, you're going to make it. This is the day of new beginnings. God, look at your people. They're standing in this place. You said that you're ever watchful of what we do. They're walking because they believe you. They're standing because they believe you. And even they that desire to stand but have not the physical strength, they believe you. You said your word is true. We receive it right now. In the awesome and all-powerful name of Jesus, I bless them right now. I bless them right now. Your finances are blessed right now. Your deliverance, your healing right now. Your sons, your daughters are blessed right now. Your children's children are blessed. I bless them because the Lord said that whom I bless will be blessed. I bless you right now. I bless your job right now. That difficult experience you've been going through. You've been praying that you would be able to come to Sunday school. I bless that right now. You've been praying to come to Bible study on Thursday night now. I bless that right now. You've been praying for a way to make it to church school. You've been praying for a way to increase your Bible study time. I bless that right now. You said, Lord, if I could only get a job where I can get off on Sunday morning, I'd come to church more often. I bless that right now. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I want to make my seed offering this year. I bless that right now. I want to build the church, Lord, with my pastor, with my deacons and trustees. I bless it right now. You want to tithe unto the Lord? I bless it right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Would you thank God right now? Would you thank Him right now? Come on and thank Him right now. I don't know how you're going to do it, but we'll just thank Him right now. Yeah, you do it your way. You don't have to do what anybody else is doing. I just want you to bless Him right now. I want you to bless Him. Come on and bless Him right now. Let's shake up heaven right now. Just let the angels get jealous as you bless Him right now. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, God. I told you about it. Thank you, God.
Our scripture reading this morning was coming from Psalms 138. Psalms 138. First through the fifth verse. Psalms 138. First through the fifth verse. I will praise thee with my whole heart before the gods which I sing praises unto thee. I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried thou and strengthened me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord. When thou hear the words of my mouth, yea, they shall sing in that way of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord. I have read Psalms 138, first through the fifth verse. May God have a blessing from the reading of His holy word. Amen. You may be seated.
Our hearts for prayer. Eternal Heavenly Father, it's again we come to give thy name thanks and praise. Yeah. We want to thank you for bringing us down through 1999 to the year 2000. Lord, we thank you for our ups. We thank you for our downs. Most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives within, O Lord. Lord, we want to thank you for the new year and the possibilities that it brings for spiritual growth, O Lord. Lord, we want to thank you for the Brookville discipleship here, Lord. We ask you to continue to lead and guide our pastor as he endeavors to carry us to higher heights in thy word, O Lord. Lord, we ask you to look in on those disciples who are not able to be with us this day. Sister Walker, Brother Dismond, Brother Tweedy, and all those names listed on our sick and shut in, O Lord. Continue to strengthen and uplift their spirits while they're away from us. Bring us back when you desire it's time for them to come back, O Lord. Lord, we ask you to bless the ministries of this church that we may reach out and touch someone's life and turn them around before it's too late, O Lord. We believe in what you preached and taught that as you walked on this earth for 3.5 years, letting us know that there's a better life and a more productive life for us to live, O Lord. Lord, we ask that you just look in on our family members who are not here this day, those who have gone on, whose memories we have to share with our other families who are alive. Lord, we ask you to continue to reach out into the highways and byways through us, that we may bring some child, some daughter, some father, some mother closer to thee, O Lord. Lord, we want to thank you for the possibility of work, that those who are seeking, that they may find that job they're looking for. Lord, we ask that those who have disarray in their homes, that there be peace there, O Lord. Lord, we just ask that this year of development, that we search and find our place within the in our ministries, O Lord, that we may be productive and better Christians this day. Lord, we want to thank you for the people who've come out to hear the word of God. We ask that you bless our pastor, carry him down into the wells of salvation, that we bring him up preaching thy devout word, that we may bring somebody and uplift our spirits, that we may share and worship to truly praise thy holy name. Lord, we want to thank you for all that you've done for us through this time in life. Continue to bless and guide and direct us. For this is our prayer in your Son, Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.
Amen. won't go back. I won't go back. My Lord's been good to me. Jesus has set me free. No. I'm gonna journey on. I'll journey on. My Lord's been good to me. He has set me free. I believe. Yes, I'm gonna sing my song. I'll sing my song. I'm gonna praise his name. I'll praise his name. My Lord's been good to me. Has he been good to you? Jesus, I believe. I'll praise. Yes, I'm gonna journey on. I'll journey on. My Lord's been good to me. Jesus has said. Me free. I believe. Yeah. I'm gonna shout for joy. I'll shout for joy. My Lord's been good to me. Jesus has set me free.
Set me free. No, no, no.
Kind Father, we thank you now that the moment has come for preaching, that we might share these words of life, these words of liberty. For Lord, by your word, you have set us free. And we thank you now and pray, God, that you will send your anointing of preaching power, that all that we say will be pleasing unto you. Praying, God, for power. For only you can give me power. And I ask, Lord, that this people that have gathered within these walls, that you would allow them to receive this word and to get a glimpse of your glory. As we stand on your shoulders, we look to the hills, expecting what great things you're going to do. You've been so good to us. You've been so kind to us. Thank you, God, now for this time. For we don't know what tomorrow holds. So for this day, we'll thank you. And if it may be the last time, we just don't know. We're going to praise you with all that we have and all that we are. Let the redeemed of the Lord say amen,
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 and amen.
Amen.
Would you look with me in the 2 Corinthian letter, the 5th chapter, beginning at verse 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Beginning at verse 16, I'm going to read to you from the American Revised Standard. And we're encouraging you to look with us at the 2 Corinthian letter, chapter 5. Amen. This is a new beginning for us. Now, we encourage you to stand if you're able to stand. I don't want you to sit if you can stand. I want you to stand if you can stand. If you won't, that's one thing. If you can't, that's another. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 16, the Revised Standard records these words. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. You may be seated in the presence of God. I want to look again at verse 17 of the 2 Corinthian letter, chapter 5. The word says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Would you do me a favor and put a smile on your face and look at your neighbor and say, neighbor,
neighbor,
pastor is going to preach. I got rid of my junk. Out with the old. And in with the new. I want to say that, first of all, it is fitting that the entire worship experience has been structured around what I'm going to preach to you today. We started out our morning experience. The praise team did its thing, and we came into the worship experience in a continuing mode, saying, I feel like going on. And then Sister Jamie McCoy just stood before us and led us in a stirring rendition of I Won't Go Back. Amen. I got rid of my junk. out with the old and in with the new. I say to you, beloved God, this ain't going to take long. Somebody told me on Friday night, Reverend, I didn't know you was going to keep him in there that long. Well, I'm going to make up for it right now. I'm going to run a quick race, 100-yard dash. If you plan on coming with me, you better come on, because I'm telling you now that it's time to get rid of your junk, to get out with the old and in with the new. It is befitting that as the new year begins, you are brought to the vision, the imagery of Father Time struggling to make it out. He's walking away with beard, and his beard is long, and his clothes are tattered. He's had a struggle throughout the year 1999. And then there's that pretty little baby with the banner around him with the big 2000 on it. And it's an image that we've all come to know. The old year goes out, the new year comes in. And it comes in like a baby with great hope and great expectancy. And it doesn't know what it's facing. And usually there's a caption where the old man is giving some wise words to the baby about what to expect. And I saw a caption one year where Father Time was on his way out and the baby was coming in. And he looks at the baby and says, "You don't know what you're in for." Well, I'm telling you now, beloved God, that's what you ought to tell the devil. You don't know what you're in for. You don't realize even now that the Lord has given me some new stuff. I'm telling you now that I'm excited about what's going to happen in the year 2000, because I'm getting rid of all my junk. I'm telling you right now, you ought to clean out your spiritual garage. You ought to have a yard sale. Matter of fact, don't even have a yard sale. Just load all that stuff up in a truck, because if it ain't no good for you, you ain't got to give it to nobody else. You ought to take all of your junk down to the junkyard and leave it there, because I'm telling you now, beloved of God, that the devil don't know what he's in for. He's been slapping you around, messing with you, confusing you, got you on Prozac and hypertension medicine. He got you taking stuff you don't even know how to pronounce. But I'm here to tell you, it's time for you to take a sip of my Jesus. It's time for you to taste and see that the Lord is good. I am encouraged to know that new things are coming. Look at your neighbor and tell them, new things are coming. It's just like when you look, I told you this ain't gonna take me long, I feel this one. It's just like when you look down the street and see the UPS truck at somebody else's house. You wish beyond your wishes that someday that truck would show up at your door. You wish the old brown roller would back up to your door someday and have you sign for something. Say amen, somebody. It looked like everybody on the street. You ever been there? Look like everybody on the street got FedEx and UPS and the courier coming to their house, and you ain't never got nothing showing up at your house but more bad news. But I'm here to tell you that God has dispatched a UPS truck with your name on it. Yes, Lord, God is getting ready to send some new stuff into your life. How do I know what I'm talking about? Well, I'm so glad you asked, because I got a few more minutes to tell. First of all, I saw it in the text when Paul says, therefore. Look at your name and tell them, therefore. Yes, Lord, in verse 16, he says, therefore. And when he said, therefore, what that shows me is, I believe therefore means that whatever was ain't going to be no more. Amen. I know that's not right, Sister Scott, but I'm on a roll right now. I'm telling you, when you see the word therefore in the scripture, it is saying to us that whatever was prior to what I'm about to tell you now, it don't make no more difference now. It ain't going to have nothing to do with what God's getting ready to do with me right now. In 1999, because 1999 ain't got nothing to do with what I'm getting ready to do in your life right now. Say amen, somebody. Oh, how do I know what I'm talking about? Because I saw it right here in the text. What he says is, we're just getting ready to let bygones be bygones. What are you saying to me, Pastor? Well, look here in the Word of God. It ain't gonna take me long. Y'all better come on now. He look here. What he said? He said, listen, we will no longer recognize anyone according to the flesh. Help me, somebody. Tell your neighbor, I'm getting new skin. Yes, Lord. He said, no matter what happened to you in that old body, it ain't got nothing to do with your new somebody. Help me now. I'm telling you, he said, we're not going to recognize anybody according to the flesh. I'm telling you now that the way folk been looking at you in 1999, they going to have to put on sunglasses, because the Lord getting ready to shine on you. Am I right about it? Yeah, Lord. You're going to have to wear your sunglasses at night, because the Lord is getting ready to shine his glory down on you. I'm speaking a word of prophecy right here. Don't sit and look at me like I'm crazy. I'm telling you now, we're not going to be able to recognize you with your new self. You're going to walk new. You're going to talk new. You're going to sing new. You're going to usher new. You're going to pray new. You're going to read new. God's getting ready to bust a move in your life, and you might as well get ready for something new. Say amen, somebody.
He said, we won't even recognize you in the flesh. We're not going to look at you fleshly anymore. Why? Because God is getting ready to do a spiritual renovation in your life. Help me, somebody. God is getting ready to do a spiritual thing. God is getting ready to do something that you ain't did nothing but heard about before. Now you're going to see it for yourself. He said, we're not going to be able to recognize you. He said, because you're going to look different. He said, first of all, there are three ways we're going to do this. In order for us to get the new recognition, first of all, you got to look at Jesus in a different light. Amen, somebody. You got to look at Jesus in a different light. I want you to understand, beloved of God, that every word of God is true for your life too, baby. It ain't just for those sanctified folk down on the corner. It ain't just for folk who have come to a place in their life that they know God in a special way. It's for everybody. And if you really want the word of God, you got to look at Jesus in a different light. You got to remember, beloved of God, that the word said, for God so loved the world. I don't know where you've been hanging out at, but this is the world, ain't it? And if God so loved the world and you part of the world, I think that means that God loves you too. Look at the name and tell him, God loves me. Amen. Look at the other name and tell him, you don't like it, God still love me. Oh, y'all seem to enjoy that part. Let me tell you, you got to look at him in a different light. You got to look at Jesus in the light in which God intended for him to be observed. He said, look at him as an all-sufficient Savior. Amen. That means that whatever you need, God's got it. Help me, somebody. I'm saying all sufficient. I'm on my way now. It ain't gonna be much longer. An all sufficient Savior means that whatever you've been seeking, God said, here it is right here. You've been going down to the root lady. I said root. You done gone and had your palm read. You done bought the horoscope magazine. You done tried everything, but I want to know, have you tried Jesus? Have you tried him? I'm not talking about just a little quick moment. I'm talking about, have you made a commitment to trust in the Lord and not try to do it like everybody? Let me tell you something. Everybody don't come to this spiritual place the same way. Some folk got a short path. Some folk got a long path. Some of us got a path that we ain't able to describe. We've been zigging and zagging. We've been flipping and flopping. We done run from church to church. We've been to every conference, every convention, and we do all right for about 2 weeks, but then about that third week, the devil said, you done run out of that, ain't you? You done forgot about get ready. You back down to being depressed. But he said, listen, I'm not going to look at you like that anymore. I want you to look at me as being an all-sufficient Savior. I want you to know when you wake up in the morning, I'm right there. When you go to work, I'm right there. When you get home, I'm right there. When you're in the bill paying line, I'm right there. When you're in the diagnostic room at the hospital, I'm right there. Whatever the doctor said, until I say it, it ain't so. I'm all-sufficient. He said, I want you to look at me like that. He said, I want you to stop going around there having pity parties, sending out gold-plated invitations, having folk come out instead of praying for you, come on over to cry with you. Ain't nobody going to cry with you no more. I'm going to have to look at you differently. I'm going to show you that I am the God of your salvation. And I want you to understand that no matter what folks say about you, once you're saved, baby, you still saved. Say amen, somebody. And I'm here to tell you that even when you mess up, God still can bless up. Help me, somebody. I know grammatically that might be pushing it, but I'm here to tell you, he said, I'm an all-sufficient Savior. Then the other thing I want you to do is, he said, I want you to understand in the new recognition, you got to look at yourself differently. Amen. I want you to look at yourself as being already delivered. Amen. I want you to look at yourself as if the UPS truck is residing at your house. I want you to understand that when you learn how to look in the mirror and be happy with yourself, then you can be happy in the Lord. You got to stop looking at what's wrong with you and recognize what's right with you. Am I right about it? You ain't got to tell me one of my ears bigger than the other. I've been looking in the mirror all my life. I know that, but you know what? I think it's bigger so I can hear what you're saying about me. Help me, somebody. I'm telling you now, he said, you look at yourself differently. You stop looking at yourself compared to other self people and look at yourself comparing yourself to Jesus. When you stand up next to me, then I want you to see that what I said is that you shall be made like unto my glorious body. Stop looking at yourself in the flesh and look at yourself in the future of your spirit. spiritual development. I'm telling you now, beloved of God, that you got to learn how to be happy with yourself. I'm telling you now, you don't need no committee to come pat you on your back. You don't need nobody to put you up on their shoulder to my, he's a jolly good fellow, because some of them folk got bad knees and might drop you. Help me, somebody. You need to learn that the Lord said, if I be lifted up, I'll take care of all the drawing. He said, you got to understand that you need to look at yourself and see more of me and less of you. Am I right about it? And when you look in that mirror, when you look at yourself and you begin to recognize the awesomeness of God and his sufficiency, then I want you thirdly to learn how to look at others differently. Say amen, somebody. You got to learn. He said, what Paul says here is that we will no longer recognize anybody according to the flesh. I'm telling you now, you got to learn how to come down off your high horse. You got to learn how to get down off of your sadidiness and thinking you better than everybody else. And you all that. Listen, we all the same in the Lord. Am I right about it? Now, notice I'm not trying to diminish your self-image, but I'm also trying to help you to understand that the Lord took it upon himself to be humble. The Bible said that he thought it not robbery to be fashioned like a man, giving up himself in glory to come down and to dwell with us. Can you imagine how the ministry would have gone if Jesus just acted like he was really a somebody and everybody else was nobody? No, notice how he looked at the woman caught in the very act of adultery. And you know, some of y'all, you spend too much of your time trying to catch folk. That's why you can't never get none yourself. Say amen, somebody. Well, I'm going to preach like I want to here. Ain't going to be taking me much longer, but I'm telling you now that you don't need to be riding around trying to get dirt on nobody else. What you need to do is be washed in the blood of Jesus yourself. Yes, Lord, you need to understand that when the Lord looked at her, he looked at her and really, he just kind of gave her one of them, you know, I'm not really looking at you, but I'm here, you know. And the Bible would say to us that he was just scribbling stuff, you know. And, you know, when you doodling, you ain't really paying nobody no attention anyhow. You just kind of doing your own thing. And then he said, well, you know, woman, where are your accusers? Let me tell you something. You need to learn how to put your rock down and go home. Amen. Look at the name, tell them, drop your rock. Amen, because the Lord says to her, he said, well, if there ain't nobody else to accuse you, I ain't got nothing against you either, because I'm not looking at you as what you are. I'm looking at you for what I know you're going to become. Say amen, somebody. I'm telling you now, oh, you looking at folk now, you looking at them now, you ain't going to be able to recognize some of these folk around here when the Lord get through with them. Matter of fact, the Lord ain't going to be finished with some of them you ain't going to recognize. You got to understand that the process is beginning even right now. If you're willing to get rid of your junk and get out with the old and in with the new, God said, I want you to look at people differently. Look at your name and tell them, I'm going to look at you differently. Amen. Look at the other name and tell them, I'm going to give you the benefit too. Amen. Now, for them folk that's sitting behind you, didn't look back, don't say nothing. Amen. Now, let me tell you why. Why? Because, you know, there's a time, beloved God, that if the new recognition is going to work for us, you got to understand what Jesus says in John 8:15. And you get a chance now, go home and look at that, because don't stop paying attention now. But in John 8:15, the Lord said, listen, you judge folk according to the flesh. But I didn't come to judge nobody. Now, you got to understand, that's some deep theology from the Lord. It's in the text, 8:15, write it down, but remember to go home and read. He says, you judge people according to the flesh. He said, but I don't judge anyone. Now, if God is willing to give a new recognition and look at folk differently, oughtn't we to do the same thing? I'm telling you now, some of us need to leave church today, go home and pick up the phone and call folk and tell them, I'm sorry. Oh, I know some of y'all ain't going to do it, but you ought to do it. If you ain't going to call them, write them a letter. Don't put the return address on. Just write a letter and say, I'm sorry. Because he said, I didn't come here to judge nobody. And I'm telling you now that it opens up a new particular of theology to understand that if the Lord didn't come here to judge us, then I believe it indicates to me that he came just to make us better. He came with a willingness to say, listen, whatever it is, let bygones be bygones. He said, if you've had a Pharisaic spirit, and you got some folk got a Pharisaic spirit in our churches. I said churches. You got folk that got a Sadducee spirit in our churches. Oh, they know everything. You can't tell them. N-O-T-H-I-N-G. I can spell a little bit. You can't do it. No matter what you do, it ain't never right. It always should have been differently. You know, that's just a Pharisaic spirit. You know, they get mad because you don't wear black and white on first Sunday. You know, that's Pharisaic. You know, when you go to a funeral, you're supposed to wear black. Where you saw that? That's Pharisaic. And a reverend, you didn't do that right. That's Pharisaic. Let me tell you something. You ought to just be glad you got the ability to get up and get out of bed in the morning and come to church. You ought to be glad that somebody willing to sit down and even talk to you after all you done. But I'm here to tell you, I know you can't say you done either, but I'm telling you now that the Pharisaic spirit must be abolished in our churches. People got to learn to stop judging other folk. Am I right about it? You can't be running a grapevine and be in the vine. Oh, help me somebody. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying the Lord said that he is the vine dresser, and if you in the vine, you got to abide in him. And he said anybody that's outside the vine, you ain't going to survive. That's why I don't waste my time, Lewis, with worrying about what folks say about me, because if they're outside the vine, they'll be gone after a while anyhow. Some of y'all spend too much of y'all time messing with your distractor. Listen, you need to tell them, talk to the hand, because I'm Holy Ghost bound. I'm on to something here. You ain't got to spend your time messing with your naysayers and distractors, because the Bible says, therefore. And I'm telling you now that when you leave here today, when folks step up in your face talking about the past and trying to remind you of 1999, you tell them that pastor said, therefore. And therefore means that bygones are bygones. Am I right about it? Now, my second point of preaching is, I'm coming on around the block now. Those of you who stand on the corner, get ready, because here come the bus. The second point of the preaching is, again, the Bible says that there is another therefore. Look at verse 17. He says again, therefore, if. Now, I want to tell you, first of all, you must understand that this point is, there is a new restoration. Point number one, for those of you who take note, it was a new recognition. Number two, a new restoration. He says, therefore, if. If always opens up to me, Junior, possibilities. If is a word of awesome possibilities. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Yes, Lord. Look at the name and just tell them, if. If only I had done what I should have did, tell them if. If I had gone where I should have gone, tell them if. If I had to listen to my mama, keep going. If I had to did what my daddy told me to do. If I had paid my taxes. Come on and help the Reverend preach. Gotta say if faster. Say if. If I had gone to church every Sunday. If I'd have paid my tithe. If I'd have sung on the choir. If I'd have stayed instead of left. If the pastor leave me alone, we'll get out of here in a minute. Amen. Listen to me. If is a possibility. And when you think about if, you got to recognize within yourself that every time you say if, you are reminding yourself that something might not have gone like it could have gone. Am I right about it? So what Pastor Paul says, Robert, is that if any man, now I want you to understand that this is not a gender thing, but he says if, and if, therefore, and if going together mean that whatever it was ain't, but it could have been. But I'm so glad that the Lord said new things are coming. I'm telling you now, beloved of God, that I'm living outside of the if factor from now on. I'm not going to let if keep me from getting where I'm supposed to be. I'm not going to let if slow me down anymore. I'm getting ready to expand on the possibilities because of my if. Say amen, somebody. Whole lot of y'all sitting here now looking at me like y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but you know that if you had did it differently, you'd have been a lot further down the road right now. Say amen, somebody. Yes, Lord, if only you hadn't been in the hurry to marry Raheem, you could have married old Joe, who got a whole lot of money now. Say amen, somebody. Raheem, don't get upset. She still loves you. But the fact of the matter is, all of us have an if in our vocabulary. But he says if, and I want to tell you now that you must understand that the possibilities are unique to your case only. Are you listening to me? Everybody in here has a uniqueness about their if. I know some of y'all thinking now, Lord, what does Reverend know about my if? Well, I'm so glad you're worried about it, because I've got information to share. Oh, don't get quiet on me now. Yes, Lord, you want to get out of here by 1:15, you better come on. Oh, look at y'all, now, no. I'm telling you now, you got to be thinking, Lord, what does he know? What does he know? Let me tell you something. Just back up. When you start worrying about what folk know about you, in verse 17, refer them back to verse 16. Because the Bible says we no longer look at you like that. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you now to get rid of your junk. Stop worrying about them if things. And go on down a little further in verse 17 where the Bible opens up this promise. Because the word said that he is. He is means that there is a promise from God. Amen. It's right here in the text. I don't know what version you have, but I'm going to read it to you now. It said, therefore, if anyone, that's the if factor. But then it says, in Christ, he said, he is a new creature. I told you in verse 16, we weren't going to even look at you differently. Now, in verse 17, it tells us why. Because you're a new creature. Look at the name and tell them, I'm a new somebody. He said he is, and he is. It is beyond the possibility. It is now the promise, because you do know that God created us in the image. The Bible said in Genesis 2, I believe, in around 17, 18 verses, it says, in the image of God created he them, both male and female created he them. That means that if God created us in the image of God, then I'm a real somebody. Oh, help me somebody. I'm feeling more godly now. I feel a little better about my possibilities now because I'm in the image of God. I mean, they told me that it looked like my daddy spit me out. Well, I'm going to have to push him aside because the Bible said I was created in the image of God. Oh, help me somebody. I'm feeling rather glorious now. I believe Paul said in his word that we shall be made like unto his glorious body. That reminds me that even if I have messed up between Genesis and 2 Corinthians, by the time I get over to Philippians 3:14, I believe it is where Paul says made like unto his glorious body, that means the Lord is bringing all things together. You do know that you see your life backwards. See, you see it from the beginning to the end, but the Lord is standing at the end saying, come on, you're going to make it. And I'm here to tell you, beloved God, if you get rid of your junk, you're going to make it. I'm here to tell you now that there are some promises that the Lord has made you. And you would be wise to take it up today and believe God according to his word. Am I right about it? He said that if any man be in Christ, he said, therefore he is this new creature. Now, what I want you to understand, he said that new things have come. I'm telling you now, beloved God, that you've been waiting for a breakthrough. You've been waiting for your deliverance. You've been waiting for your miracle. You've been waiting for your spiritual acknowledgement. You've been waiting to get the Holy Ghost. You've been waiting for the gift of tongues. Y'all better come on in here. You've been waiting for your power to come. You've been waiting for your presentation to come. You've been waiting for your day to stand before the people of God. You've been waiting to give your testimony. I'm telling you today that new things have come. I'm telling you now, you ain't got to try to do it like nobody else. You ain't got to try to sing like B.B. Wines. You ain't got to try to preach like Paul Morton. What you got to do is learn how to use what God gave you. You got to learn that God has invested in you already, and because you are a new creature, it opens up the last point of the preaching, and that is that we are in the now of our reconciliation. Verse 18 says that now all these things are from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus. I'm so glad now that we're in the moment of reconciliation. Too many of us been sitting around trying to wait on our reconciliation to come. You've been waiting on folk to forgive you, and you've been waiting on them to invite you to the tea party, and you've been waiting to get your invitation to come back to the church. You've been waiting on the deacons to run you down and beg you to come on back to the Lord, and you've been waiting for folk to lay hands on you and bring the anointing oil. But I'm here to tell you, you're in the now of your reconciliation. You're in the place where the Lord wants to use you. I'm telling you now that in the First Corinthians letter, I believe it is chapter 12, verse 18, said that we are all in the body because it is the desire of the Lord. Am I right about it? The Bible said that it pleased God to put us back into the body. You on the outside looking in. But I'm so glad to tell you this morning that now you're in the reconciliation house. You're in the place where bygones will be bygones. You're in the place where God has forgiven you of your sin. You can take off your sackcloth and ashes. You can go ahead and lift up your hands because the Lord has forgiven you. I'm here to tell somebody that you've got to learn Jesus has already paid your bill. You've been sitting around trying to scrape up a nickel and a dime, trying to pay your way out of your trouble, but the bill has already been paid. You've been around here trying to beg folk to like you, trying to beg folk to forgive you for old deeds, but the bill has already been paid. And I'm so glad to tell you this morning that reconciliation is in the house. Whatever you've been going through, you can forget all about it because the Lord has made a way for you. Aren't you glad about it? Aren't you glad this morning that the Lord has made a way for you? Aren't you glad this morning that the Bible says that reconciliation has come? He said he gave us a ministry of reconciliation. And what I want to tell somebody as I get ready to take my seat, that the Lord stands with outstretched arms. He stands with a heart of love, telling you to come on back home. I know you've been out there wondering how long you're going to have to suffer for your misdeeds. But I'm telling you now, you can turn around and come on back home. You've been hiding in your closet, trying to avoid folk to know about you. But I want to tell somebody that it's all right now. You can throw away your junk. You can get your shouting shoes back on. You can put your makeup back on. You can put on your Sunday best and make your way to the house of the Lord. I want to tell somebody that reconciliation has come, that it's a brand new year. It's a brand new Sunday. You can start all over. That which was don't matter anymore. That which was used to be is just what it is. I want to tell somebody that the word said in verse 19 that he has forgiven us of our trespass. And ain't you glad about it? I'm so glad. I said I'm glad. Some of y'all looking at me kind of funny. Let me tell you what I'm saying. The Bible said that your trespasses have been forgiven. And that means that whatever you did wrong, God's not going to hold it against you anymore. Whatever you did when you messed up, God said it's all right. I will wipe the slate clean. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You've been down at the foot of Calvary's cross. I heard you call my name. Anybody know when you call on the Lord, he'll hear your cry. Anybody know when you call on the Lord, that he'll make a way for you. I'm so glad this morning that in spite of my own messing up, in spite of my own shortcoming, my sins have been forgiven. And I'm going to get up this morning. I'm going to lift up my hand. I'm going to lift up my heart. I'm going to lift up my voice and praise my God. I wouldn't sit here and look like I don't know what he's talking about. If you got a reason to praise your God, you ought to lift up your hand. If you got a reason to praise your God, you ought to lift up your voice. I'm out with the old and in with the new. I'm so glad. I said I'm glad. I can start all over. I feel like a newborn baby, just learning how to walk. Every now and then, I might sway from side to side. Every now and then, I might lose my balance. But I'm so glad. My grandmama told me I could hold to his hand. God's unchanging hand. I can hold to God's hand. Anybody know you can hold his hand? Ain't God all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Can you say yeah? Have you ever tried him? Have you ever tried him? Ain't God all right? I said he's all right. I said he's all right. He forgave you of your sin. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, in the blood of Jesus. He'll give you power in the blood of Jesus. He'll make you walk right in the blood of Jesus. He'll make everything brand new. Anybody want something new? Do you want something new? I saw one more thing in the red. The Bible said that it is through him. I'm so glad this morning I'm not in this thing all by myself. I can call on the Lord. I'm so glad. I said I'm glad. I got a God on my side. Is there anybody here this morning got a God on your side? Is there anybody in the house that knows through him you can have your power? Through him I live and I breathe. Through him, not only have I got my help, but I got my wealth. Through him, I've got the ability to walk right. Through him, I can get what I need. Ain't God all right? Won't God give it to you? Say yeah. Say yeah. He will. I've said he will. No more ifs, ands, or buts. I'm on my way somewhere. If you don't like me now, just keep on watching. If you don't like my singing, just keep on listening. If you don't like my preaching, just keep on praying. Because God will. I know God will. I know he will. God made me a promise. I'm going somewhere. God made me a promise that every step I take, every breath I take, every move I make, he will anoint me. He will anoint me. He will appoint me. Won't disappoint me. Won't let me down. Won't leave me alone. He's right there in the midnight hour, in the the midnight hour, in the darkest moment, he right there by my side. Ain't God right there? Say that! Yeah! Yeah! Yes, he is. I've been reconciled. He said that you can get rid of your junk. You can start all over now. He said, because I want you to understand that the reason you rejoice is because you've been reborn. He said, I'll do that for you. Would you understand me today and know this, that the Lord says that your sins are forgiven. I said, the Lord says your sins are forgiven. He said he will no longer count their trespasses against them. You ought to shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The doors of the church are open. We invite you to come right now. If you have never accepted him as Lord and Savior in your life, we invite you to come right now. We don't want you to stand around thinking about it or sit around thinking about it. I'm telling you now that restoration has come. The Lord says today that if you desire this, I'll give it to you. And if that's what you really want, if you come unto me, I will receive you. And when you come unto me, I'm not going to examine your past. You don't have to remind me of my past. I know that myself. And you don't tell me what I did. I did it. And I don't want to hang around nobody who always going to remind me of what I used to be and what I used to do. Amen. I don't need that. I don't need you to tell me that. Every time I get around you, you tell me, man, remember we used to do it. And quit living in the past. I want to get rid of that. Yeah. I'm not going to ride. Matter of fact, some of y'all need to get rid of your pickup and buy you a two-door sedan so you don't have no room to put none of that stuff in.
Right.
Amen. That's just a metaphor. I know. And don't y'all go selling your trucks and stuff. Reverend said, get rid of my truck. No, I might need to move something. I don't know. I'm telling you now that what the Lord says is this. It is impossible to please God without having a faith that works. Are you listening to me? You must understand this. If you don't get anything else, get this. Jesus died for you. Okay? You didn't ask him to do it. Some of us wasn't even thought about. Matter of fact, none of us. If you're that old, you're really a millennium baby. But he died for you. Before you did the first thing wrong, he died for you. And after you did it, when the devil and all of your enemies were trying to bring you to accountability, the Lord said, that's paid for. Are you listening to me? See, that's what the gospel is. The gospel is recognition of what he did. It's not about what you've done. Ain't got nothing to do with it. You can't believe that we get to heaven. They're gonna say, "Well, Leroy, let me see here. You've caused a nation of people." No. I'm telling you now, you ought to rejoice in knowing your trespasses are not counted against you. I'm sitting around folk waiting on a reason to shout. You ain't gotta wait on a reason to shout. And if you don't shout, that don't mean you ain't saved. Amen. I might as well introduce that. Everybody don't shout. Everybody don't run. That's all right. But what you do is you rejoice. Some folk don't understand that. You rejoice in the fact that he died. Not because the choir sing good. We don't need no choir. There's two of us. Huh? I hear music when I think about Jesus. Yeah. My soul cries hallelujah when I think about what he's done for me. And the reason why we invite you to come and be a part of that is because we don't want to look at you the same anymore.
When I look at Debbie Campbell, I don't see flesh. When I look at Brother Davis, I don't see flesh. When I look at Veronica, I don't see flesh. When I look at the McCoys, I look at the Cards, when I look at Peoples, when I look at you, I don't see flesh. I don't want to see you in flesh. That would keep us from being spiritual. Because see, when folk look at you in flesh, they're trying to compare themselves to you. See, we always compare ourselves to lesser folk. I ain't as bad as so-and-so. Yeah, but are you as good as Jesus? I know you want to go home. I want you to go home. It's pretty outside. But I would not have you to be ignorant, my brethren, of the things of God. I would not have you to leave this place without considering your eternal destination. See, there are two eternities, you must know. There is an eternal hell, because the Bible said that you shall burn for all eternity. Did you hand me my handkerchief? I believe my nose running. Don't y'all laugh at me. Somebody should have said, Reverend. Thank you. Taking pictures of me with my nose running. But I say this to you, there is an eternal heaven. Now you must decide today where you will go from this place. We are here today and could be gone this afternoon. I'm not talking about no man knows the hour that he shall come. I'm talking about you don't know when you're going to leave. Promising for, well, I'll see you next week. You don't know nothing about next week. And all them folk, they went out and bought all them canned goods and potatoes and put it in their bomb shelter. They ought to have a big cookout and let us eat it all up. Because see, you telling me you didn't trust Jesus. Running around here doing, no. I'm concerned about today and whether you shall give your life to Jesus. Oh, can you imagine such great love? See, that's what keeps me going. When I think about the love of Jesus. God wants to make something special out of every one of you. And it's going to happen for you if you'll get rid of your junk. You come to the Lord right now. Right now. Make a decision today. If you've never accepted Him as Lord and Savior in your life, you ought to come right now. Right now. And if you've been there, and you've fallen away. You stopped going to church. You stopped going to prayer meeting. You just got lost. You just missed the mark. Reconciliation has come today. Reconciliation. That means that God still loves you. And He would that you might come. Because He said that I don't want anybody to perish, but that they would have everlasting and eternal life. How many of you want to live forever with the Lord? Yeah, don't be ashamed. I do. When y'all get to heaven, y'all see me running around, I don't speak to you, don't get mad at me. I'm just having a good time. I'll be back around after a while. Now, we used to tell folk all the time, I'll be back after a while. I want to live forever. Thirdly, if you're looking for a church home, we invite you to become a part of our family. We invite you to be a part of this experience that we believe is unlike any experience anywhere else. It's not selfish. That's just our pride. Because we love the appearing of the Lord in our church. We love the Spirit of God that is in our church. We invite you to come and be a part of our family. We're discipling in our year of development for the Lord. And we're building a great people to be in a great church. Would you come now? Those are your choices of the day. We invite you. Young man, young woman. Josh, I'm trying to do a little work up here. Would you come? Come on today. Come on today. Would you stand on your feet all over the house? We're going to pray. Amen. The hour has come now. We've had a great time in the Lord. Amen. Amen. I want you to enjoy the rest of your day and your family. I want you to enjoy that. I want you to Have a great time in the Lord. I want you to tell somebody, I went to church on the first Sunday of the year, and I felt the movement of the Holy Spirit. I got rid of my junk. Matter of fact, you know, I believe in doing things sometimes as a demonstration of my faith. Why don't you just take your junk? Just get rid of it. Amen. Just let it go. Amen. Let it go. Just let it go. Feel the relief of letting it go. Just take a deep breath. And let it go. Just let it go. Feel better. See, sometimes you think that this is foolishness, but let me tell you something. There is a reality of acting upon your faith. See, when I say I'm letting something go, I let it go. When I take a deep breath and let go, I'm done with it. I ain't got to do, you know, nothing else. I'm just going to let it go. Y'all remember that movie, Waiting to Exhale, them poor sisters. All of them looking for just the right man, the right reason. And then they all want to just go. And then Stella went and got her groove back. Amen. Whitney had a bodyguard. You know, that's fiction, Reverend. Yeah. But isn't it ironic how fiction becomes so much like reality? Sisters all over America were going, yeah, I done exhale. Okay. So you better inhale because, baby, I'm back. God bless you. We're going to pray together. It's all right to have fun in church. Trust me. Amen. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. Father, where we're standing now today, we declare our altar before you. We're standing at our altar. In our hearts, we're kneeling. Some of us are falling now, even as we speak, prostrate before you. Some of us, Lord, are lying out before you. We want you, Lord, to hear our prayer. We believe the word that we have heard today, that our reconciliation is now. We believe the man of God who has said unto us that we can get rid of it, be out with the old and in with the new. We believe the man of God who has spoken restoration to us because new things have come. We receive it right now in the precious name of Jesus. As the authoritative word of God, we receive new blessings. We receive, Lord, answers to those things we pray to you about. Our future is secure in Christ Jesus. It's not about what happens to us day to day, because we don't know about tomorrow, but we do understand this, that you forgave us of our trespasses, and it's all right now. God, we celebrate right now as we're standing, kneeling, prostrate, or as we're laying out before you. We are celebrating in our spirit the fact that it's all right now. Spiritually, our hands are lifted up. Our hearts are set free. As you have shepherded us to greener pastures. You have brought to us a place where the waters are still. They're calm and we can drink. We hear the words of Isaiah saying, come who thirst. Buy without cost. Drink and eat and be made full. The bounty of the Lord has been spread before us this year. We shall continually dine in your presence. Oh, how awesome we wait for your appearing. But until you come, Lord, we'll work by the light of day as your countenance shines upon us, blessing our mothers, blessing our fathers, our sisters and our brothers. Touching us with an anointing unlike that we have ever shared before. We receive you, Jesus, in your tender mercy and your love. We bless your holy name even right now. From the eldest to the youngest, we bless you right now. Our hands are lifted up and we praise you. Sickness, finances, marriages, jobs, Family reconciliation. All of our concerns are lifted and floating out of this place because of your awesome power. Building us and making us a great church. We receive that now. We pray your traveling mercies upon our friends who will leave this place and must travel to their several homes. We pray your blessing upon their tables as they shall eat. In Jesus' name. Bless our choirs, our deacons, our trustees. Bless us, and we shall be blessed. Love us, and we'll know that we're loved. And because you forgave us, we know that we are forgiven. Now may the grace of God and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit flow, shower every one of you from the choir stand to the back door. Anointing of God be fresh upon you in all of his power. In Jesus' name, go now from this place, but never his presence. Let the redeemed of the Lord shout amen.